يقول المؤلف رحمه الله: واسم المحبة فيه إطلاق وعموم، فإن المؤمن يحب الله ويحب رسله وأنبياءه وعباده المؤمنين، وإن كان ذلك من محبة الله. وإن كانت المحبة التي لله لا يستحقها
المؤمن، the believer loves Allah سبحانه وتعالى، loves his messengers and prophet, and loves the ones that worship Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
المحبة لله سبحانه وتعالى. الآن نجيب يعني على إشكال يعني كيف نوفق بين كون المؤمن يحب الله تعالى وحده
is a part of the love of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
المؤمن يحب الأنبياء ويحب الرسل ويحب
the love to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Nobody else, and no one else deserves that love except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned with what is worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separate from his creation. And the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a part of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a part of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a part to seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather seeking His help or seeking His love.
لكن المحبة التي لله عز وجل هذه لا يستحقها غير الله سبحانه وتعالى.
The creation of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, love of the messenger and the prophets, and love of the other believers. This type of love is separate from the love of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
فقد جاءت محبة الله سبحانه وتعالى مذكورة بما يختص به سبحانه من العبادة لله والجنابة إليه والتبثل له وتحقيق
ذلك. عند ربط الله سبحانه وتعالى
يعني لو نظرت إلى الآيات التي
الله سبحانه وتعالى
فيها الأمر بمحبة الله سبحانه وتعالى
فجد هذه الآيات مشتملة
أيضا على محبة الله تعالى مع
الله سبحانه وتعالى.
أو محبة الله تعالى مع الإنابة
الله سبحانه وتعالى orders us to love
أو محبة الله تعالى مع التبتل إليه
والتبتل
والانقطاع إلى
عبادة
التبتل إليه
تبتل
إلى انقطع لعبادته
بمعنى انقطاع
القلب
سبحانه وتعالى separates himself
and
separates his love or the love to him.
كل هذه الأسماء تتضمن محبة الله سبحانه وتعالى
as part of the love of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. فإذا
يعني محبة الله تعالى هي خاصة به عز وجل محبة يعني مقرونة بالتعبد ومقرونة
and the love that is dedicated to Allah سبحانه وتعالى is accompanied by the work to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and the worship
to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. قال فكل هذه الأسماء تتضمن محبة الله سبحانه وتعالى. ثم إنه قد بين أن محبته أصل
to the love of the
فقد بين أن كمال الدين بكمالها ونقصه بنقصها. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: رأس الأمر الإسلام وعمده الصلاة وذروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله. وهنا يتكلم عن محبة الله سبحانه وتعالى وأنها يعني عمل فضلي وعبادة فضليات عظيمة.
And Ibn Taymiyyah continues in saying that the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the core of the state. And perfecting the state comes with the amount of the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith that the head of all is Islam.
And
the pillar of it is
praying.
And the top pillar of it is the jihad in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the jihad is the peak and the top of work.
الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله وأولئك هم الفائزون يبشرهم ربهم برحمة منه ورضوان من جنات لهم فيها نعيم كثير خالدين فيها أبدا إن الله عنده أجر عظيم. فأورد هذه الآيات الكريمة يعني في فضل الجهاد في سبيل الله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن الله عز وجل
جعل
الإيمان والجهاد أفضل من عمارة
المسجد
الحرام وسقاية الحجاج.
And jihad in the same level, and everything else is less. So people used to among themselves show off as we take care of the pilgrims, we feed the pilgrims, we provide water to the pilgrims, and they consider them to be the highest and the most noble.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
you make these deeds equal to the ones who fight in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have great faith. They don't equal.
The
scholars said, when asked what is the best type of work after doing the al-fard, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated upon us. Some scholars said they voluntary prayer, others said knowledge and seeking knowledge. And all of them used evidence to support, evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to support what they say regarding work and deeds, what is the best among them after performing the obligations.
For example, sometimes
came and asked the Messenger of Allah sallam,
asked him,
guide me and show me a deed that is equal to fighting in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, equal to jihad. The Messenger of Allah sallam asked him, the Messenger of Allah sallam answered, can you fast and not break your fasting, and pray day and night without sleeping? Can you do all of that until the fighters of the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come back home? Also, a woman came to the Messenger of Allah, a companion woman came to the Messenger of Allah and said, Al-Jihad is the best type of work as we learned. Can you permit us to go with the man? And the Messenger of Allah also has mentioned the greatness of the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and that the deeds that are done on those 10 days are the greatest deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
has.
And then he was asked, not even jihad, performing jihad is the deeds in the Hijjah. The deeds in the first 10 days of the Hijjah, are they better than jihad? The Messenger of Allah said, yes, they are better than jihad. And all of these hadith lead us and led all the scholars to the absolute knowledge that the companions and the Messenger of Allah affirmed that and confirmed that the jihad is the greatest type of deed that a Muslim can perform, is the highest deed.
قال والجهاد لازم دليل المحبة الكاملة.
من جهاد ابن تيمية says that الجهاد
من لوازم المحبة الكاملة
is an indication of the highest level of love to Allah
سبحانه وتعالى. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره. يعني
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if your fathers and your brothers and your husbands and wives and your tribes and your money and your trade is greater to you and you love it more than you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger and jihad in His sake, jihad in Allah's sake, then wait for a night and with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this ayah,
وقال سبحانه وتعالى في صفة المحبين المحبوبين الذين يحبون الله
ويحبون الله is for a person to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most and love His
قال يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم
ويحبون سورة المائدة
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
all you believers, whomever turns his back on his deen, on his faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring and will come up with new people that love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. And they are humble among the believers. And they are proud among the Kafirin. They fight for the sake of Allah, يجاهدون for the sake of Allah, and they don't fear anybody's blame. So they seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they're seeking Allah's pleasure and His people.
أرضى الله بسخط الناس رضي الله عنه وأرضى عنه.
As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sought the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite other people's anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be content and pleased with him, and he will make everybody around him content and pleased with him. Ibn Taymiyyah continues and says that And he loves others.
قال كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بكر
الصديق رضي الله عنه
في طائفة فيهم صهيب وبلال لعلك أغضبتهم لئن كنت أغضبتهم لقد أغضبت ربك سبحانه وتعالى. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لأبي بكر
الصديق
رضي الله عنه
أبو بكر when he was among
other companions.
The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم I told Abu Bakr, if you had handled Abu Bakr, the Messenger of Allah asked Abu Bakr and told him, if you have handled Bilal and Suhaib, then you have handled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr informed the Messenger of Allah, turned to Bilal and Suhaib and asked them, have I angered you? And they replied, no, may Allah forgive you, Abu Bakr.
Then Ibn
Taymiyyah mentioned the story of this hadith, saying that Abu Sufyan ibn Harb has passed by them.
فَقَالُوا مَا أَخَذَتِ السُّيُوفُ مِنْ عَدُوِّ اللَّهِ
And after that, of course, he became a Muslim. But at the time, he passed by the companions after Ma'rakat Badr, after the Battle of Badr. When he passed by the companions, they said to him, the sword did not do justice against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, it is too bad that our souls did not get to the neck during the Battle of Badr. So Bilal and Suhaib both said that our souls did not do justice against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implying to Abu Sufyan. For he did not witness the battle of Badr. He would do with one of the battalions of the Kuffar. Abu Bakr replied and said, do you say this to the master of Quraysh? Abu Bakr turned to Suhaib and Bilal and said, meaning, how dare you say that to the master of Quraysh? For Abu Sufyan was the leader of Quraysh. And Abu Bakr went to the Messenger and told him what happened. And then the Messenger told him what we just mentioned in the hadith. So the Messenger asked him, have you angered them, O Abu Bakr? Have you angered Bilal and Suhaib? Then Abu Bakr asked them, have I made you angry? Meaning, trying to apologize to them if you made them angry. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told him that if you angered them, then you have angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Bilal and Suhaib, because Bilal and Suhaib love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَالْمُعَادَاتِ لِأَعْدَائِهِ.
For Suhaib and Bilal said this
because
they were angry with Abu Sufyan, because Abu Sufyan is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in their anger towards Abu Sufyan, they said what they said. For they were angry because they know that what Abu Sufyan does angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them angry. And as we know, one of the fiqhi rules that the reward is identical to the deed. Meaning, Allah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, mention me, I will mention you. If you love Allah, Allah loves you.
مقابل أيضا يعني الماكرون ينقل الله تعالى مقابلون
on the other hand, the one who forgets Allah سبحانه وتعالى forgets them.
Means
abandons them. And the one who thinks that they con Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cons them. So this is the meaning the punishment is equal to the deed, and the reward is equal to the deed. Meaning if the deed is as such, then the reward is not more excessive than the good. And that is the meaning
ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح فيما يروي عن ربه عز وجل ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب الي بالنوافل حتى الله سبحانه وتعالى فاذا احببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر ويده الذي يبصر
ورجله التي يمشي بها فبي يسمع
that
Allah سبحانه وتعالى loves his slave
يعني لا يسمع إلا ما يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى
saying that as long as my slave comes close to me with what I love until I love him and if I love him I will be the hearing that he hears with and I will be the sight of his eyes
ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه وما ترددت عن شيء أنا فاعله ترددي عن قتل نفسي
عبد
الله سبحانه وتعالى
and if he asks me I will give him and if he sought shelter with me I will provide him and I have never hesitated doing something that I am going to do in the sense that it is time to take the soul of my slave my believing slave He loves to die and I hate to hurt him. Meaning that man hates to die and it's painful for him to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that man who is a faithful believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as he loves him and he does not want to hurt him by taking his soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him to the point that he wants him to be closer to him.
وقد يتردد المخلوق مع علمه بالعاقبة يعني هو شيء مجرب وعارف بالله سبحانه وتعالى هذا العمل ما هي عاقبته
And then the word hesitation here is of course not similar to the hesitation of mankind, not similar to the hesitation of the slave, of the creation. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hesitation is not the same in weakness as the hesitation of mankind and mankind's ignorance. For man hesitates when he's ignorant about something and he's not aware of something, so he's not, he does not know whether what he's going to do is the correct thing to do or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hesitation is not similar to that, to man's hesitation that is a result of ignorance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge includes everything and covers everything.
وهناك يعني شيء آخر فيه مصلحة ولكن الله سبحانه وتعالى يعني يختار مصلحة معينة
and this hesitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose
choosing what is best for his creation for his creation ترددي عن قبض نفسي عبد المؤمن يكره الموت وأنا أكره مساءته ولا بد له منه
For the believer hates to die because of the pain of it and because of the end of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I hate to harm him and hurt him by taking his soul, but death is the end of it and he has to die.
فالله تعالى يكره مساءته ويكره الله أن يسوءه بأن يميته
For here, the faithful believer hates to die at this point. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to distance something that his believer hates. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to inflict come through the destiny that he made on each and every creature that he has created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take his soul despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hatred of inflicting his faithful believer with something that his slave hates. And the Messenger of Allah said, people that die are broken down into two types. Either gets comfortable and rests, or people rest from him. And the believer, when the believer dies, rests. Unlike the non-believer. So when he dies, everybody and everything else rests from him. For the believer, hates to die because he wants to live longer and perform more deeds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do more work towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is afraid that he has not done enough to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he wants to live longer and work harder and do more. Or maybe he hates to die because he's worried about his children after him, his wife, his parents. He wants to provide for them and take care of them. And he wants them to stay proud, not depending on people to take care of them. So he's fearful of death because of reasons like that, for example. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to inflict something on his slave that his slave hates and does not want to suffer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made death destined on everything that he has created. And that is a relief for his slave. His slave does not know it at the point because of his lack of knowledge. Unlike the non-believers, they hate to die because they start realizing that what they were doing is wrong, or they want to stay alive so they can fix what they did in their life, or they want to continue living because they want to continue their lifestyle, they want to continue doing what they're doing. So their fear of death is completely different than the believers' fear of death or hatred of death. Here,
what
the main point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the one who loves him. And the one that loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves what Allah loves.
كما قال وأنا أكره مساءته وهو سبحانه قد قضى بالموت فهو يريد يعني أن يميت العبد يعني فسمى ذلك ترددا ثم بين أنه لا بد من وقوع ذلك لا بد منه وأنا فاعله فهو سبحانه يعني يكره الموت ولا بد له منه
And we've spoken before that something can be loved and hated in the same time. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to end the life of his believer, the one that believes in him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to inflict death on the believer because he wants that believer to be closer to him and he wants to reward that believer for his work during his life.
قال وهذا اتفاق واتحاد في المحبوب المرضي المأمور والمبغض المكروه المنهي عنه وقد يقال له اتحاد نوعي وصي يعني هنا
ايه الشيخ
الاسلام
رحمه
الله بيتكلم عن موضوع الاتحاد بين الخالق والمخلوق هناك اتحاد باطل وكفر بالله سبحانه وتعالى
الله سبحانه وتعالى
شرك عظيم لله تعالى الذي
And there are two types of union. The union that is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the what is implied by Sufis, for example, a union that leads to kufr, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites to the point where they become one. So the Sufis claim that there is a union that happens between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of his slaves, like a leader of those. And this union is kufr. Like the Christians, for example, they believe that there are three gods, God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that the three unite. And other Muslim sects, like we said, the Sufi, that speak about union, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites with one of His creatures and becomes in His creature, for example, as saying that a creature becomes so close to God that God becomes in that creature. Ibn Arabi, for example, was the first to come up with this, saying that the whole universe is united and that there is no difference between the creator and the creation and the creator, that the creator becomes in his creation. And this is kufr, as the scholars have explained and clarified. This is the kufri union. This is the union of kufr. The union, the faithful union, or the correct meaning of union, is the union of the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that what is loved is loved and what is hated is hated, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, His slaves love, and love to do, and love to become. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, His slaves hate. And what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angers His believers. For they love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and they hate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, and they're angry with what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the meaning of union that a believer wants to reach. This is the type of union that Muslims want to reach, not the kufr union that the Sufis spoke about, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming one with His creation, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is united with the whole universe.
قال وليس اتحاد الذاتين فإن ذلك محال ممتنع والقائل به كافر.
And this is the union that we seek, not the union that makes two into one. And this is the union that is union of kufr, and whoever says of it is kafir.
فإن هذا أولا من جهة العقل هو محال ممتنع تكون الذاتان ذات واحدة. من جهة العقل هو
for it is impossible. If you think about it and analyze it, it is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite with His creation. It is physically impossible. As the Christians say, for example, about Isa and his mother, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Isa and the Holy Spirit. And as the Rafida, for example, say that Ali ibn Abi Talib creates and he makes that and brings out of that. Saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in Ali, and Ali performs all of that.
قتل وصلب في عهد الخليفة جعفر المقتدر بالله الخليفة المقتدر
All the stray people, for example, the people who believe in Al-Hallajiyya. And Al-Hallaj, or the people that follow Al-Hallaj, and Al-Hallaj used to wear a robe and he used to walk in the streets. And saying what's inside this robe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had a son who believed in the same beliefs of him and became like his father. And he had people who believed his nonsense. The scholars believed that he was Catholic, and they made that consultation to the Khalifa, and the Khalifa ruled that he is a Catholic. And
فهذا تعطيل للصانع ودخول له هي طريقة ابن عربي وابن سبعين وابن الثاني ومجموعة العقيدة الإسلامية
هذا سكولرز لايك الترمساني اند ابن عربي
القائلين بوحدة الوجود
ومن المتأخرين
واحد اسمه عبد الغني النابلسي كان من علماء الشام وكذا يعني من تصوفة الشام وكذا
and among the Sufis
Sufi scholars
and Ibn Arabi and
Al-Tirmidhani
they said and they believed that if you see a creature then you see his creator meaning when you see creation that means that you are seeing God
وهو جامع لكل شيء
And in that they said that
it is all united,
creation and their creation, their creator all have united. And when you see a man, then you see God. So that union is a type of kufr union. And Sufis also believe that a different type of union between God and man it is called Al-Fulul meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes inside his creation just like water becomes inside a pot of water meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes inside his creation meaning it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses a man of his creation like the con artists that claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in them tells them what's going to happen in the future
قوم يقولون بالحلول المقيد في بعض الأشخاص وقوم يقولون بحلوله في كل شيء وهم الجهمية الذين يقولون إن ذات الله في كل مكان
الجهمية
وافقهم على هذه المقولة المعتزلة والأشاعرة
يقولون إن الله في كل مكان الجهمية also الأشاعرة which is another sect and this sects say
that
the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere
حتى لم ينزل الله سبحانه وتعالى الأماكن التي لا تليق يعني
including the places that it is disgusting for any human being to mention those places and Allah in the same sentence. So they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. In being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is physically everywhere. Unlike what Ahlul Sunnah say, who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on his throne over the seventh heaven.
قال وقد يقع لبعض المصطلين من أهل الفناء بالمحبة أن يغيب بمحبوبه عن نفسه وطبعه هنا هذا يعني يرجع بنا الى موضوع الزيت، يعني يقودنا الى الكلام عن موضوع الفناء والاستقلال، يبقى من الصراحات المتصوفه ويجعلونها من ضمن المقامات القلبيه والعبادات القلبيه وكذا، عباده الفناء، يكون كل من عليها كان وكذا، وعباده الزيت فناء في الله سبحانه وتعالى، لكن يزعمون عباده اخرى يسمونها الاستقلال. ما المقصود بالفناء؟ خلاصته يعني ان الفناء
يقسمون الى ثلاثه
اقسام،
in different manners. One of them is to infinity, and that divides into three types. Meaning, worshiping and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extreme, meaning loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that does not assimilate his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anybody else. Then scholars said that this is a correct text. One of the texts that the Sufis believe in, worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the scholars said that this is a correct text.
النوع الثاني من انواع الفناء يقولون فناء القلب عن شهود ما سوى الرب، فناء القلب عن شهود ما سوى الرب، فيفنى قلبهم عن العلم بغير الله، يعني قلبهم يفنى عن العلم بغير الله. ويقولون هذا زي ايه، مثل يعني ما جاء في قصه ام موسى
seeing nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feeling nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, when Musa's mother thrown in the sea, that her heart became empty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Musa's mother as when she threw Musa in the river, she stopped feeling, and all she felt was her son, and all she was worried about was her son. She could not see anything around her except her son's face. And the Sufis say that this is the type of worship that they do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that they don't see anything around them except Allah, and they don't think about anything around them except Allah, and their heart feels nothing around them except Allah.
الشيخ الاسلام ابن تيميه رحمه الله رايه في هذا النوع الثاني انه يؤدي الى ضعف واضطراب في التمييز، يعني هذا النوع
قد فيه ضعف وفيه اضطراب في
التمييز
ويعني and going astray.
هو هذا النوع يعني يقال انه لا يقال انه يعني شرك، لا يقال انه شرك،
you can't say that this is shirk.
يعني ليس هو من الكلام،
and it is not or some token, it is not
does not lead to perfection.
For a believer knows of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows what is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this sight and this way of looking at things distinguishes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above and beyond anything else. For worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is higher and more complete than knowing nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
يعني فناء عن شهود ما في الله من كأنه إيه؟ كأنه يعني مثل السهران، مثل يعني
ابن تيمية says that the Sufis look at this type of worship as being drunk, feeling nothing and seeing nothing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshiping as a drunk without any sense.
علمه بالله سبحانه وتعالى لا يعلم ما سوى الله. فقال يعني ان هذا يقع يعني في سبب يعني الضعف وضعف التمييز وكذا وكذا. هذا النوع الثاني، هذا النوع الثاني من الفهم هو الذي يقال له الاصطلاح.
This type
هو هذا النوع
is called استلام.
The Sufis is called that استلام. وله يرد على القلب. استلام يعني على القلب.
Which ولا.
Means يعني وله يعني لأنه يعني من شدة الحب لله سبحانه وتعالى.
Which
يعني
means it's like going crazy. Going crazy with what you love. Loving something so much to the point that you lose your mind and you love it like crazy, meaning you don't sense anything but it and you see anything but it.
فقالوا يغيب بمحبوبه عن الفضل، يعني يغيب بالمحبوب يعني هو ايه، يعني يغيب بالله سبحانه وتعالى حتى العبادة اللي هي حبه لله، وهو يغيب عن حبه لله محسن. لا يرى عبادة الحب لله،
هو يعني
مشغول بالمحبوب حتى الحب نفسه لا يرى.
Gets lost in his love to the point that he loses track with what he loves. And he gets so lost to the point where he doesn't even worship anymore. Saying that a man reaches a level in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the point where he does not see anything around him except Allah, and he doesn't feel anything around him except Allah, and then he's like unconscious with what's around him, that he gets to the point where he feels and he thinks and he believes that he becomes one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third type of worship that the Sufis have is the type of kufr unity. And that is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his creature. To the point that this worshipper says there is nothing exists but Allah, and Allah exists in him. And that is a level that they strive, and that's a level that they want to reach to. They work hard to reach to. And they believe that this is the highest level of faith, becoming one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inside them. And this is the third level of worship that they have. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah was talking about the believer in this type of worship loses himself, like he's unconscious, has no senses, even loses track with what he loves, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
حتى لا يشهد إلا محبوبه ومذكوره فيظن في زوال تمييزه ونقص عقله وسكره.
To the point they lose their mind to the point that they see some creatures like a tree or a house or an animal in front of him. He loses his mind to the point that he thinks everything around him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he starts believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't the tree.
قال يعني يحكى أن المحب محبوبا وقع في اليم، فالمحب له ألقى نفسه في البحر خلفه، فقال أنا وقعت فأنت ما الذي أوقعت والأولاني يعني زلت قدمك
فقط يعني
الثاني يقول له ما الذي أوقعت
and gives a
قال غبت بك عني فظننت أنك أني
The thing is that it's like the story of a man who falls into the sea and the one who loves him throws himself after him in the sea and the one who fell in the sea asks the one who loves him I fell in the sea, what brought you in the sea? And the one who loves him said, well you left my sight, I didn't see you to the point where I thought that I was you, I threw myself after you
كان معذورا في زوال عقله يعني يقول لك ان هذا يعني يعتبر ايه نوع من زوال العقل يقول اذا زال عقله قلنا بسبب ايه يعني بسبب غير محظور يعني هو طبعا الفناء المحمود اللي هو اكمل شيء ما كان عليه الانبياء والصحابه والغيرهم ما حصل منهم هذا النوع
The most perfect among creation, which is the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has never fell into that, has never worshipped Allah like that, to the point where they walk in the streets among people, not knowing where they are and what they're looking for. And they are the ones who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. They have never worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that.
فهو غير مؤاخذ من عقله زال بسبب المباح يقول لك زي الايه؟ الذي زال عقله بسبب مثلا البنت طاعات البنت مثلا
And when a man loses his mind or loses his ability to comprehend, like for example, when he's under anesthesia, for example, and he's not responsible for what he does, for example, because he lost his mind because it's something that is allowed and is permissible. So whatever he says and does, for example, if he divorced his wife under anesthesia and he was hallucinating and said things that are hurtful, for example, then he's forgiven because he does not control his mind and his mind was lost as a result of something that was permissible, like anesthesia. But the one who loses his mind and commits kufr, and the reason he fell into kufr is because of him doing something not permissible, then he should be punished, and he is punished for what he says and what he does. For he put himself in that situation, and he followed the straight path, and the straight path took him to that end.
لا يكون مؤاخذا بما يصدر منه من الكلام في هذه
الحالة on the other hand believe that when they reach this craziness and they reach their unconsciousness and they do things that nobody accepts they believe that it is permissible and it is okay for them to do and say whatever that comes out of them because they are in a state of unity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
يعني ليس بكثرة من العقول مقامات من كان من العبد يعني تخلق قال فقيل في عقلاء المجانين قائل هذا الإمام محمد المقريزي صاحب صفات السلوك قال عن عقلاء المجانين يقول بعض المجانين يعني صعدون المجانون عقلهم زائد لو تتكلمون بكلام الحكمة أحيانا
The scholars say that some crazy people speak wisdom.
And
he says, some scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates men that
وأسقط ما فرض بما
سلم. And love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their mind and kept their love to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And scholars say that this type of man cannot be punished for what he does. For his mind was gone out of his control.
قال وأما إذا كان السبب الذي به زال العقل محصورا لم يكن استقراره معذورا، الذي زال عقله سبب محرم لا يكون معذورا.
And the one that loses his mind for something that is not permissible, then he should be punished. For example, somebody losing his mind because he's under the influence of drugs or alcohol that he took with his own will, then what he does and what he says should be punished. He should be punished for it. For he chose to lose his mind, and he chose to lose his mind with something that is not permissible, haram. And he caused his mind to go. The scholars say that he does not become a Kafir. For example, if he divorces his wife under the influence of something haram, of course it is not considered a divorce. Some scholars say that yes, even if he is drunk or under the influence and he divorces his wife, then his wife becomes divorced. The scholars said that he becomes a Kafir if he says something that makes him a Kafir. And his wife becomes divorced if he divorces her. And other scholars said that if he says something that makes him a Kafir under the influence, then he's not considered a Kafir until he wakes up and says the same thing. And if he divorces his wife does not become divorced.
قال وبكل حال فالفناء الذي يفضي لصاحبه إلى مثل هذا حال ناقص.
ابن تيمية says that this type of devotion that the Sufis do, if this devotion leads the one who believes in it to lose his mind, then this devotion is an incomplete devotion. No proper devotion and no correct devotion leads to that state. And that is why none of the companions worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. And none of the messengers and the prophets worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. On the other hand, Sufis consider this as perfection, to reach the point where he becomes unconscious or his subconscious is gone. That they consider that devotion to be perfect and to be the point that they should seek. And if we look into the Sunnah and into the history of the messengers and the prophets, nobody, none of them has ever worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, to the point that they lose their mind and they walk the street like crazy. Musa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that when Musa saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, he passed away. He lost his conscience. And the Sufis say that they lose their conscience just like Musa lost his conscience when he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lost his conscience when he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they consider that as a type of worship.
قال وإنما حدث زوال العقل عند الوالدات الإلهية على بعض التابعين ومن بعدهم. لكن حصل في بداية حصول هذا الأمر اللي هو زوال العقل عند الوالدات الإلهية، يعني عند محبة الله تعالى يعني يبلغ محبته لله أو خشيته لله إلى درجة أن يزول عقله.
During the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, this never ever happened.
آية من آيات العذاب أو كذا فغشي علي.
It happened in the generation that came after the generation of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions. In the generation after that, we were told during stories that some of the people that came after the companions, for example, while praying, heard an ayah about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishment in the hellfire, that from the extreme fear that they felt, they passed out. For example, among the companions, when Umar ibn Khattab heard the ayah in عذاب ربك لواقع, meaning when he heard the ayah that says your God's punishment will occur, Umar ibn Khattab became sick, became ill to the point where the other companions had to go visit him and make sure that he was okay. Another companion, Ibn Zurara, when he heard the ayah, when the trumpet on the day of judgment is blown, that day is the most difficult day a man will go through. Ibn Zurara, when he heard the ayah,
fainted. وولايته وعداوته, لكن يعني المحبة التامة لله سبحانه وتعالى يلزم منها هو فطرة المحبوب سبحانه وتعالى.
The most perfect people in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فمن المعلوم أن من أحب الله المحبة الواجبة فلا بد أن يبغض أعداءه ولا بد أن يحب ما يحبه من جهاده.
And none of them has ever worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like these people claim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be worshipped.
الله يحب ما يحب الله من جهاد أعدائه. كما قال تعالى إن الله يحب الذين يقاتلون في سبيله صفا كأنهم بنيان مرصوص. والمحب التام لا يؤثر فيه لوم لائم وعزل العاذل, بل ذلك يغنيه بملازمة المحبة. ثم كان محبا لله تعالى محبة تامة لا يؤثر فيه لوم اللائمين.
And the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly does not care about the blaming of others to him.
يقول بالعكس أحيانا لوم اللائمين وعزل العاذلين عزل والعتاب.
Actually the opposite. The one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly, every time he is blamed for working towards Allah and loving Allah, every time he gets blamed, then he does more.
كما قد قال أكثر الشعراء في ذلك, يعني حتى الشعراء يعني هؤلاء أهل جاهلية وكذا, يعني في محبتهم مثلا كل رجل يتعلق بامرأة أو كذا لا يؤثر فيه لوم اللازمين وعزم العاذلين, يلومونه على محبة امرأة وكذا وهو لا يبالي به لوم هذا يجعله يزداد فقدا لها وكذا. فلله تعالى المثل الأعلى, يعني يقول المؤمن هو أحق بهذا أنه في حبه لله تعالى ولو لامه اللائمون لا يؤثر فيه.
So no matter how much they are blamed, and no matter how much people get upset and angry and blaming when that person becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more he wants to get closer to Allah.
Regardless of how they feel.
And these are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most, and these are the ones who do not fear anybody else in their love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني عندهم يمدحون الذي يلومه الناس في فرقة يعني المتصوفة يقال لهم الملامية
أو يقال لهم الملامية
called the blame gods.
This sect of the Sufis believe that whoever of them is blamed the most by people is the one who is most loved and is the one that they respect the most. And the more they blame him, the more he does not care. So they believe that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, that they want people to blame them for worshiping Allah in a certain manner, and the more people blame them, the more Allah loves them, and the more they're happy with people's blame. And they consider the one who is blamed the most is their greatest one. Ibn Taymiyyah says there are two types of blaming. A good blaming meaning being blamed for worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being blamed for doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered and staying away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to refrain from. And when he is blamed for doing that and people are upset because of that, then this is the good type of blame. Meaning you want to be blamed in that case, making sure that you follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not follow people. And if people blame you for that, then this is a good type of blame to have.
ما هي أفعاله التي كان يلوم الناس عليها؟ يقول لك مثلاً كان يفطر في رمضان، يشرب الخمر، ويعمل كذا، يتقرب إلى الله بهذا حتى يلومه الناس كله يفضل ولا هذا من تلاعب الشيطان ما يفعل أشياء يعني يكرهها الله تعالى فيلومه
المؤمنون. The blamed ones used to believe that the more people blame them, the happier Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. For example, in Ramadan, they will break their fasting and they won't fast, or they will get drunk in Ramadan. So people will start blaming them. And when they believe that when people blame them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. And they seek Allah's love by
getting more blame from people. ليس من المحمود أن يصبر على لوم الناس له على المعصية، بل الرجوع إلى الحق خير من التمادي في الباطل. هؤلاء يعني الصوفية الملامتية هؤلاء يزعمون أنه يعني يفعل شيئا حرام الله ويصبر على لوم الناس.
So these Sufis will do a sin and they will take people's blame for them and they will continue and insist on doing that so that people will blame them some more. And what is best is when somebody does something wrong and they find out about it, but they return and they do the correct thing and they don't insist on sin. Unlike those blamed ones in the Sufi sect who believe that they have to get the blame of people so they can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
نعم يستلزم المحبة وترجع إليها فإن الراجي الطامع إنما يطمع فيما يحبه لا فيما يبغضه، والخائف يفر من الخوف ليمال المحبوب. هنا الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله في هذا الفصل يتكلم عن
In this new chapter, Shaykh al-Islam speaks about two types of worship of the heart, the worship of fear and the worship of hope. And that there is no conflict between those two worships and love. For some of the stray Sufis claim that there is conflict between loving Allah and fearing and hoping from Allah. And they say that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they love Allah, not because they fear Him, and not because they hope that they will be rewarded for it. So they claim that the only reason they worship Allah is because they love Allah. And they love Allah only. They don't fear Allah and they don't want Allah to reward them for good deeds. And that is the only reason they worship Allah, is their love to Him. And they strayed in understanding the meaning of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through fearing Him and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through hoping for His reward, hoping and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not conflict with fearing Him and does not conflict with hoping from Him. Unfortunately, some followed the saying of the Sufis and did not distinguish
بعض المنافع الدنيويه ليس الرياضه يعني هو اراده مدح الناس وثنائهم هذا يعني من الشرك الاصغر و يعني ورد فيه التحذير منه والوعيد هو اذا اراد في العباده مدح الناس وثنائهم هذا من المدح لكن لو ان شخصا يحج
For example, if somebody wants a pilgrimage and he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with him and reward him, and he in the same token he has some merchandise that he wants to sell. The companion said they did not feel comfortable. Not feel comfortable to trade while they are committing, while they are performing Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj said there is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj said that he is not going to be upset with his slaves if they had another purpose while they perform Hajj, meaning if they trade. Another person wants to perform Hajj and wants to perform Hajj to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he doesn't want to do anything else. He wants to go to perform Hajj solely for that purpose. Another wants to perform Hajj because he wants to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon him, and he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wants to be rewarded. And he is fearful if he didn't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with him. Who will be rewarded perfectly and who will be rewarded the most among these people? Well, the one who performs Hajj because he wants people to say that he became a Hajj and he performed Hajj, then he is not going to be rewarded. The one who wants to benefit during Hajj, his Hajj is accepted and his reward is less than the one who performs Hajj and Hajj only, nothing else, without benefits.
بقيادة الأمة وكان الصحابة يكونوا أجرًا على ذلك، فهذا ينقص من الأجر لكن لا يحدث، ينقص من الأجر الكروي لكن لا يحدث الإيه العمل.
For example, when Abu Bakr Siddiq became the Khalifa of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he wanted to take care of the Ummah and he wanted to follow the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, footstep in leading the
Ummah.
He is rewarded for that deed. The companions insisted to pay him symbolically a wage for performing this because he's dedicating all his time to this. He's not performing any job. The reward for his becoming a Khalifa is granted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not, and the good deeds he does as an Imam and as a Khalifa does not get less because he gets paid for the lack of his
work. يتقي الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه حيث لا يحتسب. فهنا العلاقه بين التقوى والرزق، بين الاستغفار ونزول المطر، بين الاستغفار
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that the one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will provide him, will provide for him
wealth
and children and rain. And the one who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide him with rain and wealth.
And
in the Sunnah, when a person reads Al-Quran, further reason that he is ill or sick, and he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure him, so he reads the Quran. The scholar says, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the reward for that person reading the Quran does not become less, because he has a desire other than reading the Qur'an for reading the Qur'an. So his reward does not become less because he's reading the Qur'an hoping that Allah will cure him. Whomever wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform the deed to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarded. And if he is performing a deed to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he also has a purpose, whether he hopes that Allah will help him with something and hopes that Allah will grant him something, or he hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish him, then the reward for that deed is not, does not become less. And this is similar to a person who goes to perform Hajj and also trades merchandise during Hajj. Or someone who becomes a scholar, for example, or a teacher that teaches Quran or teaches Islam and gets a salary for it.
الاستعفاف يعني عما حرم الله وكذا يعني هذا إن شاء الله يكون مأثورا على هذه النية والنية لا يكتبوا هذا من أجلين يعني هذا يعني
covered the person who fasts, so it will protect him from falling into sin. The answer is the one who fasts to protect himself from falling into sin also is actually being rewarded for his fasting and being rewarded for seeking Allah's protection. And working on protecting himself to become a pious person. So his intent for fasting to fast and also protect himself from falling into sin is also a reward. He gets a reward for both. And the Sufis say a person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so he can go into paradise. The Sufis say that his devotion is very weak because he wants to go, he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he hopes to go to heaven. And this is not correct. For that person who worships Allah hoping to go to heaven, believes in heaven. And if he believes in heaven, then he believes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him to do, and he believes about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him. All what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him. So a person like that is not short on faith and not short on devotion.
قال وإذا كانت المحبة أصل كل عمل ديني فالخوف والرجاء وغيرهما يعني يستلزم المحبة وترجع إليها فإن الراجي الطامع إنما يطمع فيما يحبه لا فيما يبغضه في العلاقة بين الرجاء والمحبة الإنسان الذي يرجو الله تعالى إنما يرجو ما يحبه والخائف يفر من المخوف
Ibn Taymiyyah says, if love is the core of every deed in
this state, fear
of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires love and depends on it. Because the one who hopes
Then
he hopes of what he loves. Nobody hopes to get what he hates. And the one who is fearful of something runs away from what he fears. So he can get to what he loves. And the Sufis say that the perfect believer is the one who believes in Allah and does not fear Him and does not want any reward from Him.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Isra, the one
who wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek His satisfaction and
content. And
they hope for His mercy and they are fearful of His promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, the one who believes and the ones who are fearful are the ones who are migrated for the sake of Allah and fought for the sake of Allah. Those are the ones who seek Allah's mercy. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, and that's what the Sufis say. Complete opposite.
اضطراب القلب وحركته من تذكر المحبوب او ان تغلط ايضا بانه هرب القلب من حلول المكروه عند استشعاره وعرف بانه توقع العقوبه المكروه شيء لا يكره الانسان. الرجاء عرفوه بانه استبشار بجود الرب وفضله والارتياح لمطالعه كرمه. الرجاء هو الاستبشار بجود الرب وفضله والارتياح لمطالعه كرمه. وقيل هو الثقه بجود الرب، الثقه بجود الرب. التعريف الاول الاستبشار بجود الرب وفضله
والارتياح لمطالعه كرمه. The definition of seeking Allah's mercy means the confidence in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists is the meaning of seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course that has nothing to do with this ayah. The worship of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named it different names in the Quran. Fear, terrified, pious, wajal is like shaking, and here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it as glorifying.
بعض الفروق الدقيقة بين هذه العبارات يعني كلها أعمال القلب.
And all of those, all of these are among the deeds of the heart. The worship of fear.
الإمعان في الهرب من المخلوق.
Scholars defined الرهبة fear is
الإمعان أمعن الشيء يعني مبالغة يعني.
Exaggerating in the running away from what is hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning running very, very hard and running very, very fast from what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-khashya, which is a higher level of fear, is meaning fearing something with complete knowledge of it. And khashya was used in the Quran to describe the scholars. For the way the scholars fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different from the way regular people fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they have the knowledge of the sin and they have the knowledge of what is good and they have the knowledge of what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're very, very sensitive in what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More sensitive than regular people who might fall into something without knowledge.
سند يعني فيه ضعف يعني لا يعتمد على شيء معدودا مثلا الشاذة اللي هي إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء يعني يخشى الله إن الله تعالى هو الذي يخشى من العلماء أو كذا. طبعا تكلفوا لها بعض التأويلات يعني تكلفوا لها يعني بعض التأويلات يعني خشية قلنا هي خوف مقرون بمعرفة أو بعلم.
So we said خشية
وهنا يعني قالوا
which is fear comes with knowledge.
خشية
and this is the fear of the scholars and the ones who know Allah سبحانه وتعالى. الرهبة
حركة برضه. الرهبة يعني هرب. الرهبة يعني فيها هرب وحركة.
terrifying, which is a higher level of fear, or fear of a higher level. Rahba means running away. It's like seeing a wild animal or a fierce animal. And that fear leads him to escaping, to fleeing, to running hard, running fast.
قالوا يعني هو يذكره يعني القيم رحمه الله يقول صاحب الخشيه يلتجئ الى الاعتصام بالعلم فالخائف الجاهل بالطب يهرب مما يظن انه سبب المرض والذي يجهل الطب يلتجئ عنده يعني حذر احيانا يكون مقرفا يهرب من كل شيء يتوقع انه يمرضه مع انه قد يكون هذا الشيء لا يمرضه قد يكون
Ibn Qayyim says that the ignorant runs away from everything, even if it does not hurt him. If he's fearful of disease, then he's weary of everything that might make him sick, even the things that don't make him sick. And the one who fears, like the scholars with knowledge, then he fears knowing what is going to make him sick or what will make him will cause him disease, meaning will make him fall into sin. So he knows what the bad or the evil areas are and avoids them, and does not avoid everything so he does not fall into sin, because not everything is going to lead him into falling into sin.
والهيبة خوف مقترن بالتعظيم.
And the ignorant also.
الهيبة خوف مقترن بالتعظيم.
May run into something that he believes that is not going to be harmful for him, and it is the most harmful thing that can ever be for him.
والإجلال هو تعظيم مقترن بالتعظيم. تعظيم مقترن بالتعظيم. الهيبة خوف مقترن بالتعظيم. والإجلال تعظيم مقترن بالتعظيم. الوجل قالوا رجفان القلب
Another type of fear or another level of fear is الوجل and الوجل means the shaking of the heart. And that is when the mentioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath, for example, causes the heart to shake. And that is another level of fear, or a higher level of fear. And that also becomes as a result of khushu', for example, during prayer, that a person's heart.
قالوا هيئة في النفس يظهر منها في الجوارح سكون وتواضع.
That the state of the heart during prayer is in so much focus and concentration and fear of that this prayer will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all the limbs of that individual, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reflected on all the limbs of that
individual,
even though the fear is in the heart and the heart of that individual is
shook,
fearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not accept his praying. And there's a high level of khushu'.
خاشعة أبصارهم يعني مغضوبة أبصارهم. فنرجع هنا مرة أخرى إلى الكلام عن رجاء رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال أولئك يرجون رحمة الله. فهنا الرجاء يكون إيه؟
Going back to the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
says, "Those seek the mercy of Allah." وعذابه جامع لكل شر.
الذي يرجو
رحمة الله يرجو كل خير من الله تعالى، يخشى عذاب الله يخشى
ثم الله سبحانه وتعالى.
وداب الرحمة الخالصة هي الجنة.
And the house
ودار العذاب الخالص
of perfect mercy
دار الرحمة الخالصة
and complete mercy
هي الجنة.
is heaven.
And ودار the house العذاب الخالص
of perfect torment
هي النار. وأما الدنيا فدار استدراج. الدنيا دار استدراج.
And this life and this dunya is a house of cunning. Or is the house of cunning. Or cunning, I'm sorry.
يعني
is a house of cunning.
الله العبد
for a person
either
exaggerates in doing evil, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would provide him with health, good health, and provides him with power and wealth, and that person thinks that he is powerful and he is very smart, and these gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads him to commit more evil. If he was an unbeliever or a hypocrite, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them strength and gives them power and gives them wealth and ability, and they use all of these gifts to displease Allah and to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by oppressing people and hurting people and not giving people their right and not giving their Lord his right. The believer, on the other hand, is fearful.
For
when Allah's gifts and bounties increase, he is very fearful that he would commit sin instead of using all these gifts.
And please
in Allah, he is fearful that he would displease
Allah. عن ثابت عن عبد الرحمن بن أبي ليلى عن صهيب رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا دخل أهل الجنة الجنة نادى منادي.
If the people of heaven walk into heaven, a caller will call and says, all you people of heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an appointment for you. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you something and he wants to fulfill his promise. And the people of heaven would say, what is it? Hasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our faces white and make our scales heavy, our good scales heavy, and put us into heaven and save us from the hellfire? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil, and then the people of the heaven will look at him, meaning they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says,
nothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them is more love to them than looking to Allah's face. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran,
Az-Ziyadah.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ones who did good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them heaven and more. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is more. Meaning,
قال ومن هنا يتبين زوال الاشتباه
قول
من قال
the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ما عبدتك شوقا إلى جنتك ولا خوفا من نارك وإنما عبدتك شوقا إلى رؤيتك. هذه الكلمة يعني تروى عن رابعة العدوية يعني رحمه الله امرأة يعني عابدة صالحة ونصب إليها يعني هذه عابدة صالحة رحمه الله ونصبت إليها هذه الكلمة والله أعلم. نعم هي صدقة أتباع التابعين في عهد سفيان الثوري رحمه الله. فالقصد يعني أن هذه العبارة فيها إيه؟
Then Ibn Taymiyyah says that this replies to the ones who say, and this proves that what some says is wrong. And the saying he's referring to is the ones who said, I have not worshipped you, aspiring to your heaven and not fearing your hell. The reason I worship you is I worship you to see your face.
قال فإن هذا القائل ظن هو ومن تابعه ظن هو ومن تابعه أن الجنة لا يدخل في مسماها إلا الأكل والشرب واللباس والنكاح والسماع ونحو ذلك مما
that there is nothing in heaven except eating, drinking, wearing, and enjoying and listening and hearing. So the one who says that believes that these things are in the heaven and he's not, and that they're not good enough for him, and that he wants more than that, which is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not true. For among the bounties in heaven is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a believer, among the bounties he seeks of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going into his heaven. And among the bounties that he will enjoy is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Ibn Taymiyyah says, how can he say that you did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his heaven, but you're worshiping him to see his face? And you're not going to see his face unless you go into
هناك فرق بين الرؤية التي هي فعل العدل والمرئي وهو رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى. لما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ترون ربكم كما ترون القمر ليلة البدر
you will see your Lord like you see the sun in the afternoon and like you see the moon at night.
للرؤية بالرؤية وليس للمرئي بالمرئي، يعني رؤيتكم لله تعالى كرؤيتكم للشمس، وهذا تشبيه مخلوق بمخلوق، وليس والله خلقكم وما تعملون، وليس المرئي بالمرئي الذي هو رب العالمين سبحانه وتعالى، يعني
الشمس والقمر،
ولكن فيه إثبات للعلو، الشمس والقمر يبيان إثبات للعلو وترفع الإيمان إليه في الأبصار.
And the Jahmiyya, which is a sect obtained after have said, the Jahmiyya sect has said that the theme here is not seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as clearly as you see the sun or as clearly as you see the moon. The meaning here is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala high. And humans are not going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heaven.
المسموع الذي هو صوت الله سبحانه وتعالى انما اختلف ان الله تعالى يتكلم بصوت وحق يسمعه هذا صوت يليق بكماله سبحانه وتعالى قلنا تشبيه الايه السماع بالسماع السماع هذا فعل العبد وليس المسموع فالقسم من اهل الجنه يتمتعون برؤيه الله تعالى وسماعهم اليه قد كما يوافقه على ذلك من ينقذه يد الله من الجهنم.
The greatest bounty of Allah سبحانه وتعالى which is seen
the presence of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. بناء على ذلك عندهم يعني قلنا دائما من التوحيد العلمي له ارتباط بالتوحيد العملي. التوحيد العلمي هنا اللي هو ايه؟ العلم بان الله تعالى يرى في الجنه، يعني الجهميه ينكرونه تبعهم يعني حتى هذا لانهم لا يرجون
الجميع يصدق
بناء الله سبحانه وتعالى.
humans will see Allah سبحانه وتعالى in heaven.
ويظنون يعني أن رجاء الجنة هو فقط لأجل ما فيها من المخلوقات وليس لأجل سماعهم برؤية الله. ويزعم أنه لا
تمتع
قال أو من يقر بها ويزعم أنه لا تمتع بنفس رؤية الله كما يقوله طائفة من المتفقين. ايضا بعض المتفقين يعني بعض يدرس يزعمون ان الله تعالى يرى في الجنه لكن ليس في رؤيته نعيم ولا لذة. هذا تعارض مع الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
وأسألك الله سبحانه وتعالى. people will say people will see Allah سبحانه وتعالى but in that sense seeing Allah سبحانه وتعالى is not a bounty, it is not a gift of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, it's not something enjoyable.
فهؤلاء متفقون على أن مسمى الجنة أو الآخرة لا يدخل فيه إلا التمتع بالمخلوقات.
The eating and the drinking and the
living. لا يدخل فيه إلا التمتع بالمخلوقات. And the ease. لذلك يقولون إنهم لا يعبدون الله رجاء بالجنة إن الجنة حصل نعيمها في هذه المخلوقات. قال ولهذا قال بعض من غلط من المشايخ لما سمع قوله تعالى قائل هذا اللي هو الشبلي رحمه الله واحد يعني من العباد ومن المتصوفة يعني غلط يعني بعض من غلط من المشايخ فقال لما سمع قوله تعالى منكم من يريد الدنيا ومنكم من يريد الآخرة قال فأين من يريد الله؟ رجع يقول فأين من يريد الله؟ يعني الناس يريدون الدنيا والناس يريدون الآخرة فأين الذين يريدون الله؟ وجعل الذين يريدون الله يعني غير الذين يريدون الآخرة لأنهم هي قسم آخر. طبعا هذا الكلام كلام باطل. لماذا؟ لأن هذه الآيات نزلت في أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معه الذين يريدون الاعتراض والفقد يعني سورة آل عمران كما تعلمون يعني
من سورة آل عمران الله سبحانه وتعالى says
among you
those who want this life and those who want the hereafter and one of the worshippers the known worshippers said then where is the ones who want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so Ibn Taymiyyah says here that there is a big fallacy to say that because in this ayah or this ayah the reason for this ayah to be to come apart of the Quran is to glorify the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for this ayah
came the
إرادة
of الآخرة غير إرادة
of أحد or of أحد
غير إرادة الله. وشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله ذكر يعني في مواضع يعني كتب تعليقا على كلام الشبلي يعني هنا قال فهو قد يعني هو محمود في كونه يريد الله ومذموم أو يعني
مخطئ glorified
more seeks
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks the day of judgment and seeks the hereafter but he is condemned for so he is glorified for wanting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanting the day of judgment and the hereafter and he is condemned for separating between the ones who
قال وقال آخر في قوله تعالى إن الله اشترى
for the ones who seek the hereafter on the day of judgment are the same ones who seek Allah
قاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. هنا الله تعالى اشترى أنفسهم وأموالهم لأن لهم الجنة.
In the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bought from the believers themselves and their money.
فقال يعني بعض المتصوفة وكذا، قال فإذا كانت النفوس والأموال بالجنة فأين النظر إليه؟ الأنفس والأموال في ثمن الجنة، فيمكن ثمن النظر إلى وجه الله، يعني هذا يحتاج إيه؟
الصوفي said يعني عمل well, أكثر the price to go to heaven is to spend a believer's money and a believer's soul for the sake of Allah. If that's the price for that, for heaven, then what is the price to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning that there should be a price to see Allah.
وكل هذا لظنهم أن الجنة لا يدخل فيها النظر إلى الله.
And that's
on
their way of proving that there is that going to heaven does not include seeing Allah.
والتحقيق أن الجنة هي الدار الجامعة لكل يعني خلص هذا الذي أحسن القسم.
And to prove that in al-Jannah is every good, and among that good is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described and spoke to the believers about, and none of it among it is seen the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
لكن الصواب يعني في هذا المقيمة أن العقل يعني ترادف يعني العقل الترادف وعقل يعني خاص على العام يعني واقع الخاص على العام أحيانا زي يعني كان عدوا لله وملائكته ورسله وجبريل ومن كان كان جبريل ومن كان من الملائكة وأعطاهم الله على الملائكة زي ما نقول أننا جبريل ومن كان وعلى هو العمل الصالح هو من الإيمان. نعم. أيوة. من ربه والمؤمنين كل من يؤمن. كثير من كتاب الله تعالى عصر الإيمان. خاص على العالم. فإذا يعني النظر إلى وجه الله الكريم هو من ضمن نعيمه.
Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
is part of
heaven.
It
is not necessary to mention eating and drinking and enjoying and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word, the saying of Al-Jannah includes all the bounties and all the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the believers about and hid from the believers.
And among it
is what the Messenger of Allah has said and what will happen to the believers in the heaven. And the Messenger of Allah said that the believers will see their Lord, will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
مع أن هذا القائل إذا كان عارفا بما يقول فإنما قصده أنك لو لم تخلق نارا ولم تخلق جنة لكان يجب أن تعبد، ويجب ذلك للتمتع بالتقرب إليه والنظر إليه. ومقصوده بالجنة هنا ما يتمتع فيه بالمقصود. يعني يقول يعني
Ibn Taymiyyah says here that the one who wants Allah and does not want heaven. Ibn Taymiyyah says, well, if we want to excuse him and think and say maybe he meant something else, meaning, let's say that he meant that God, even if God did not create heaven or hell, and there is no punishment and reward, then he will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told mankind that he has prepared heaven for the believers and hell for the disbelievers. We'll stop here inshaAllah and continue next week inshaAllah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.